Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow.
Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed on this Sunday morning, you probably put the dog out and had a cup of coffee, and then you made a very wise decision. And that is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. As you heard Josh say, as he says every Sunday morning, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So who is that? Well, that's you. That's me. That's your friends, your neighbors, all the other people. We're all intertwined in the workforce in one way, shape, or form. In the workforce of tomorrow, who's that? Well, that's your kids. That's your nieces, your nephews. That's the younger people that will enter the workforce at some point. And we want to make sure that all of you, and this is what I'm dedicated to doing, I give you advice to help all you folks to be more effective and more productive in your careers. And in doing so, I tell you about my personal career journey. I talk about where I've taken a left, where I should have taken a right. And I don't do this to beat myself up. I tell you these things. I tell you what I should have done and what you can do to stay on the right path. And each week I have my weekly contributors. One of them is Coach Larry O'Brien. And Coach Larry O'Brien, he helps managers to become effective leaders. And he's made a career in that space. And he gives advice and tips. And he does a 5-minute segment. And he tells a story each week that's very timely, very relevant to today's society and what's happening. And when he paints that picture with his words, a lot of times I feel like he's telling my story. He's talking about something that I'm dealing with currently. And I bet there's so many other listeners out there that when Coach Larry talks, they're feeling the same way. Doggone, this guy is hardwired into my brain. He sees what I'm wrestling with at work. And he's telling my story. And he's telling me exactly what I should do to come out on top. So when you hear Coach Larry's segment today and every week, just grab a pen and paper, jot down some notes, and think about it. What you write down, that's going to be what you're going to do differently as a result of listening to that segment. If you do that and you commit to doing something differently, you're going to be the better for it. My other weekly contributor is Boston Danny. And each week, Boston Danny comes on and he gives us a Boston update. He tells us about the weather in Boston. He brags about his favorite sports teams. And then he also does something real special that I know you guys like. This is where he gives shout outs to your friends and family. So if you have somebody that is having a birthday, an anniversary, or somebody that accomplished something special, like perhaps graduating high school, you just send me a note and I'll put it in Boston Danny's hand. And that's pretty simple to do. You just write me. It's Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me that note. I'll give it to Boston Danny, and he will give you a wicked pissa shout out like only Boston Danny can. And it's a good way to acknowledge those folks that accomplish something special. So, and every week, you know, I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people as my guests. Gosh, I've had presidents and executives with some of the biggest companies in Jacksonville. I've had new business owners that are just starting up to tell us about their trials and tribulations. And man, I just love having great guests on the show that represent their companies, and they talk about their personal career journeys. And it's been a wonderful thing. Josh and I were talking before the show, and Josh McCarthy is the world's best producer, I have to tell you. But we were talking before the show, and he was like, Pete, you know, it would be good if people get to know you a little bit better. You know, you're the guy that runs staffing agencies and you give people advice, and, you know, people need to know who they're getting their advice from. You know, sure, you're a career expert and you've been doing this for 25 years and, you know, and you've helped thousands and thousands of people, you know, secure their employment and get a job. And I've helped thousands of companies by placing people at those companies. You know, I love what I do. There's no doubt about it. But Josh said, beyond that, people need to know who you are and what you're about. So Josh says, you know what, Pete, why don't we do a show a little something different for a lineup? Why don't you be your own guest and I ask you questions that'll help the listeners get to know you a little better? So Josh, you want to come into the studio over here? I see you fumbling around over there. You got some questions you want to ask me?
I'm here with you. Now it's Pete the job guy and Josh the producer guy.
That's it. Yeah, because that's a good way to name people, is whatever they do. That, you know, that carpenter over there, that's Pete the carpenter guy, and the doctor, that's Josh the doctor guy, right? Isn't that the way it works?
That's exactly. Yeah, we go back to our careers for some identification purposes. But Pete, some people know that. Some people might just know that you are you've been on the radio now for so long, and they may have not tuned in recently for one of the episodes where we kind of describe a little bit about you here and there. So I did want to dedicate an entire show just about you and kind of the history of you and your career and how you came to be Pete the Job Guy. So we'll start with that name, the moniker right there as it is. How exactly did you get the name Pete the Job Guy?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, I got a call from the world famous Mark Kay. And Mark Kay wanted me to come on his morning show because Mark put it out to his listeners, if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be? And this was 2009, and, you know, we're just coming out of a very deep recession, the worst recession in history. And a lot of listeners said, all I want is a job. I need employment. He got a lot of people that just wanted a job or a better job. So he called me, and because I run a staffing agency, and Mark's really well connected, and he reached out to a few people, and someone recommended me and gave him my number. And we talked on the phone. He said, would you come in on the show and give advice, career advice to some of the listeners? And I said, sure. So Mark introduced me, Pete Langlois, and we took a break. And say your last name again. And he goes, you know what, I'm just going to call you Pete the Job Guy, because my last name is Langlois. It's not all that popular in French. It's Langlois. But Mark said, I'm just going to call you Pete the Job Guy. And I started laughing. I said, that works for me. And he after a second break, he said, can you take calls from listeners? And people would call and ask me, you know, hey, how can I structure my resume better to get a job? Or what should I say in the interview? And they asked me questions. And Mark asked me to come back the next week and then a few more times. And I really enjoyed it. So the name Pete the Job Guy came from Mark Kay wrestling with my last name. But I think it's pretty catchy.
Oh,
now, but the other part of that is, you know, I grew up in Tewksbury, Massachusetts, northeast of Boston, and, you know, kind of a blue collar town. I worked really hard when I graduated high school. College really wasn't on the radar screen. So I joined the Navy. I enlisted into the Navy. I worked hard in the Navy. I went to night school and weekends, and I had to reenlist a second time. So I could finish my four-year degree while I was enlisted. I put together an OCS package, an officer candidate school package. But just about that time, my second enlistment was up, and I opted to get out and go into the private sector. But I took some of the great principles and things I learned in the Navy and in the military with me into the private sector, and that is unquestioned reliability, a sense of mission and purpose and hard work and dedication. And I brought that into the workforce with me, and you know, I got into staffing and recruiting because I like to help people. Some of the people that I help are at a very vulnerable point in their lives. They just need a job. They need income. You know, some people need help getting that next step in their career. They want a better job or better benefits or a work-life balance or a job that is closer to home where it is. And I help those folks. I also help companies find that talent. I mean, that's all I do day in and day out. I'm surrounded by the best recruiters. And all day, all I do is look for great talent for my clients. And a lot of the folks that I represent to clients, they don't respond to ads because they're not looking. They have a great job. They're happy in their job. And I just find out from my clients, what are you looking for? And I go out and get it. And I talk to these folks. And really, what would it take to get you to consider another opportunity? Because I have a great one right now. I make those calls. I also help companies that are maybe they're in their peak season and their phone volume is really, really high and they need a bunch of customer service reps to answer the phone for them. Then I put temporary employees out there. But I my team and I specialize in technology, accounting and finance, general office administrative clerical, human resources, marketing, and we have a healthcare division and a banking division as well. If I can ever help you, you just call Pete the Job Guy. My number is 904-999-4878. I'll say it again, 904-999-4878. If I can help you in any way, just give me a buzz. What's next, Josh?
All right, Pete. Well, We know that you run a staffing business. That's right. So I'm just curious, how is that business going?
Yeah, excellent question. Because, I mean, everybody's business has been impacted by this COVID and phase 1, 2, 3, whatever. It's been really hard for a lot of people. And staffing agencies, traditionally, anytime there's a downturn in the economy, and this one was like the bottom fell out of it, staffing agencies get hit first. Why? Well, because companies stop hiring. They discontinue everybody they have in the hiring process. They even let people go. Even a lot of my temps, they send my temps home, not to work from home. They just end assignments. It was tough. Companies had to get into a survival mode. And always remember in business, it's nothing personal. You know, the house has to win. If the house doesn't win, there is no house. So companies have to lean out in lean times. They have to do it. It never feels good. I've been on both ends of it. I've been the person furloughed or downsized. I've also been the person that's had to let people go and to furlough people in hard times. It's tough. You know, my business was impacted. It the last month and a half, 2 months, a lot of companies weren't hiring. So I had to look for industries that were hiring. You know, there were certain segments of business that do better in certain types of down economies. So I had to search those, go look for new clients. But I'm going to tell you something. The good news, folks, is even though staffing agencies are the first ones hit in a down economy, they're also the first ones to come out of it. So we're a good barometer for economic recovery. And in the last week and a half, I'm just going to tell you, I have had so many requests for both temporary and permanent placement candidates. I have more people interviewing this past week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, just those 3 days, that I've had in doggone 2 months. So that is a very, very encouraging sign. I'm glad you asked me, Josh. The business is right back on track to where it was pre-COVID.
Yeah, speaking of COVID, it seems that everybody knows somebody or knows somebody who knows somebody who has been affected personally by the COVID. My aunt is a nurse up in Providence, and she tested positive a few weeks ago early on, and she's doing fine now. But this is kind of personal, Pete. I was wondering if you knew anybody that had maybe tested positive for COVID? And if so, how are they doing?
Oh, gosh, yes. and it's nice to hear that you're, as I would say it, Josh, aunt.
Yeah, but I'll say that's it. That's what she calls herself, too. Yeah.
That your aunt is doing better and that she's fine and out of the woods. I'm very happy to hear that. Now, for me, yes, I know quite a few people. No direct relatives have had it. A lot of my family is in the Northeast, in Boston and New Hampshire and Maine, and none of my family has had it. Now, a lot of my friends and people that I know, and I'm not calling anybody out or naming names, but I would have to say more than 15 people that I know have tested positive for COVID. The good news is, with the exception of maybe two people, they had relatively mild simple symptoms, and the majority were almost asymptomatic. They just tested because they were in a region, and that region was a hotbed. They came back, and a couple people had a fever, so they all tested, and the majority were positive. And but everybody's better. You know, two got hit harder, but they weren't hospitalized or anything like that. They had general flu-like symptoms. But yes, sure, I know quite a bit of people. And fortunately, everybody that has had it has come out on top. And, you know, like the majority of people.
Yeah, very, very good. So, Pete, now, without getting too political, what is your take on the civil unrest we're seeing around the country in some of the major cities?
Oh, you're really getting people to know me, huh? You're going there. All right. You know, Josh, it's a great question. And I'll tell you what, with the death of George Floyd and all the George Floyds out there, you know, people have to be heard. The demonstrations, listen, look, the time for change, there has to be change. Now, I don't have a big brain. I'm not the guy that has the map to say, do this, do this, do this, and all is great. But people have to keep open minds. You know, the answer isn't looting and violence. Violence is never the issue, you know, unless you're in a self-defense mode, like purely in a self-defense mode, life or death, then violence is the answer. But, you know, to change the way people think, it has to, and the way people act in these actions, there's ways to do it. I think we all have to have an open mind, have more peaceful demonstrations, and have, you know, people that are willing to accept and administer change so that this doesn't happen again. But, you know, instead of hearing from me, someone with a much bigger brain than me that understands this and has been teaching diversity and inclusion for many, many years is Coach Larry. I'd love to hear. I think this is a good segue. Let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
When I was in high school, my friends and I went to a party. We were promised sleeping accommodations, and it didn't quite work out that way. So we took to the streets and were guided to a house under construction. All of us were either white or passed as white, and the neighborhood was white. We slept in the house in cardboard boxes. The next morning we got up bright and early and were back to walking through the neighborhood. No one called the police. Neighbors drove by us and asked us if we needed a ride. On another occasion, in high school and at another party, again, sleeping accommodations didn't work out. But this time, we had a van, which became our sleeping accommodation. Around 4 a.m., we were woken up by the police. They simply asked us to move the van since we parked in a restricted area. I know this is not everyone's experience who is white. You might be white and have had the cops called on you or even been arrested for having some innocent fun. However, I do want to imagine if you weren't white. Imagine if you were black. If you are black, innocent fun can lead to deadly consequences, and in seconds. What I shared with you are examples of white privilege. As a person who passes as white, I didn't fear for my life when I entered that house that was under construction like Ahmaud Arbery did. He was killed by neighbors for going into a house under construction to get some water while jogging. I don't have to fear that I will be arrested or killed when I am stopped by the cops, like George Floyd was killed, and many, many others before him. As a matter of fact, I don't have to think twice about many of my actions the way people of color do. Today, I don't want to talk about what white privilege is or try to convince you that it is real. What I want to do is to talk about how you can use your privilege to advocate for people of color and especially people who are black. My friend Dr. Talanda Tolbert and her fellow founders of Escalera, a company focused on diversity and inclusion, shared an open letter that I'd like to read to help put things into perspective. Here it goes. We stand together in solidarity with the black community, our employees, customers, and partners, in the fight for a world free of prejudice, racism, inequality, and injustice. The pain, anger, grieving, and exhaustion are the result of underlying injustices endured for 400 years by generations of black men, women, and children. Although we are not all directly responsible, we are all individually accountable for the society we have, and we are each responsible for driving the change we want to see. While we share in this responsibility, true, lasting change only comes from the majority exerting their influence and power. Silence and indifference remain our greatest obstacles to freedom, equality, and injustice. Today, more than ever, we encourage everyone to lean into the discomfort of doing the uncomfortable act out of responsibility, not guilt, and be part of the solution. This message is clear. If you're white, people of color don't need or want what's called white guilt. We are well beyond that. People of color need allyship, advocacy, and action from all people. As myself, a person who is half white and half Latin, I'd like to offer some ideas. First, do your own homework. Learn about racism, implicit bias, and the history of systemic racism. Get the answer to the question, how did we get here? As the statement from Escalera points out, while you personally did not create the system, you are living in the system. So the primary goal for white people working to understand racism is not only to learn how racism impacts people of color. The primary goal is to recognize how this system of racism shapes our lives, how we uphold that system, and how we might interrupt it. If you are white, there's a higher possibility that you don't talk about race at the dinner table, with your friends, or with people of color. I encourage all of you to join what can be uncomfortable conversations. And when we do that, we need to show up with humility and vulnerability when talking about race. So here's a suggestion. One way of doing this is by using openers to difficult conversations that demonstrate that humility. And this comes from Robin DiAngelo and Anika Nyla, if you want to learn more. For example, you may open by saying, I'm really nervous or scared or uncomfortable to say this. Or from my experience or perspective as a white man, a white woman, a mother, daughter, I wonder if. Or I'm afraid I may offend someone, and please let me know if I do, but. Or it feels risky to say this, and. Or I'm not sure if this is going to make sense, but. So those are some ideas for entering those conversations with vulnerability. Now I want to turn your attention to a couple things that we shouldn't do. While showing up with humility and vulnerability are important, we need to be careful about how white guilt shows up. People don't want your sympathy or tears. People who have experienced and have seen racism for years are outraged, and you and we should be outraged too. So actions speak louder than words. Take action. Do something. Finally, have dialogues about racism with people of color, but be careful not to burden them with having to educate you too. I'm not saying don't ask questions or don't have dialogue, but just know that racism is something people of color experience day in and day out. It takes an emotional, financial, physical toll, and their role is not to satisfy your intellectual curiosity. So I'm bringing this forward as a diversity and inclusion practitioner who is hopeful that we will make progress on racism. I am not an expert by any means. I have made many mistakes when it comes to race and will make mistakes in the future. I may have made some mistakes in this particular communication I'm sharing with you today. However, one thing I know is that we won't make progress unless white people are engaged. You are needed. and you can make a difference.
Well, powerful stuff, Coach Larry. That music tells us right now we're coming to the bottom of the hour, and we have to take a break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle! Welcome back, all you hard workers. Well, goodness, if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. What's the matter with you? Wake up earlier. Set your alarms if you have to. It is that important. This show's dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow, and we share tips and advice that are going to help you to be more effective and productive. And if you just missed Coach Larry's segment right there, wow, that's powerful. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to want you to listen to it. So the way to do that, because you can't go back in time. I don't know anybody that has a time machine, but if you do, I'd like to use it because I want to change a few things. You know, the word of the COVID is pivot. Everybody wants to talk about pivoting. Now, nobody said pivot like a few months ago unless you were a pivoter or something. I don't know what it is, but everybody's saying, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to pivot this, pivot that. If I had a time machine, I'd go pivot about four different parts of my life. I'd pivot this and pivot that. But listen, no, if you missed the Coach Larry segment, all you have to do, we're going to load up this episode in its entirety on my website, probably on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And my website is PeteTheJobGuy.com. Pretty simple, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You click on radio show, and then you click on episodes, and you can listen to the whole episode. Or you just click on Coach Larry, okay, where it says weekly contributors, it'll say Coach Larry. And his segment will be broken out. So if you don't want to listen to the whole show and you want to get to the meat and potatoes and just get to the Coach Larry segment, because those are your big learning moments, you can do that. And I highly recommend that you do, because Coach Larry, man, he makes you think. And this week, I think he gave us all something to chew on. So make sure you do that if you didn't listen to it on the first part of the show. Oh, well, my studio door opened. And if we do sound a little different, right, I'm not back in the studio just yet. I am remoting in from my work studio where I'm isolated and I'm not around other people. We're not breathing all on each other's microphones in the studio. I'm sitting here on my microphone in my office. But who walked into my office but my wife and business partner, Angie Langlois. Angie, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
What's up, Jacksonville? I love saying that.
I know.
I'm a little country.
Yeah. I miss your commercials. You used to always say, "What's up, Jacksonville? This is Angie, president of Angie Stappen, and I'm bringing back the hustle."
Well, now I'm partner to Cinda, so same thing. Well, call me here.
That's right. I mean, yeah. You and I together run what is the most exciting and fastest growing staffing agency in Jacksonville right now. And we're part of Ascendo Resources, right?
That's correct. So I want to give an economic update just really quick.
Let's hear
it. I'm tired of everybody going, companies are hiring? You're going back to work? I mean, yes, every single company is hiring. They're moving. People are going to work. I mean, everybody that's at home on unemployment or not working right now, the world still goes along.
Yeah.
I mean, companies are still moving. People still need to make money, and we are hiring.
I hope everybody hears that. Not only are our clients hiring, not only do we have open jobs right now.
35.
We have 35 open jobs right now here in Jacksonville. My number, if you want to talk to Pete the Job Guy, is 904-999-4878. Angie, what's your direct line?
904-479-9610.
Companies are hiring. And I was saying earlier, Ange, because Josh asked me how the business is going. And I said, you know, there was a slow 6-7 weeks where, you know, we kind of had to try to find new clients. And because the industry, it was a grind. But over the last week and a half,
I'm going to even say 6 days.
Yes.
Like, I mean, not to be exact, but 6 days. And it is like, it was like pre-COVID.
Yep.
We're jumping right back into it. And this is coming back fast and furious. So if you're on the couch and you're thinking it's going to be another month or two, you're going to miss the boat. You're going to miss the car. You're going to miss everything because we're moving and grooving and making money around here.
Right. And listen, if you're on unemployment, for some people, I get it. You're on unemployment and you're there. But guys, you know, this is not the time to sit and take your extended paycheck and wait until your unemployment lapses and then look for a search. You're going to miss out on the great jobs that are available now. Put down the Doritos. Turn Oprah off. You're not on a permanent Netflix.
I think it's Netflix. Yeah,
you're not on a permanent Netflix binge, okay? Get ready. Get up, dust off the resume, and call us.
Get ahead of everybody else. Get front of the line. Get the best jobs available right now. Because guess what? In July, end of July, 1st of August, there's going to be a lot of people available because there's unemployment's going to run out. And then it's going to be like, okay, now we get to pick who the best people are available instead of right now where you can get the best jobs available.
Right, right. And you know, Ange, I think we're seeing it and not – I'm not naming companies, but I'll talk about specific job types, you know, not even industries, but just job types. We're seeing technology, like a lot of technology.
Yes.
Technology is hot. Accounting and finance.
That slowed down a little bit, but now it's taken off again.
Gosh, we have probably six right now that are in accounting and finance that are opening, that came open within the last few days.
Believe it or not, recruiting. If you are a recruiter, talent acquisition, we have a ton of companies that need help hiring. Like, it's just a sign of the times that we're getting back to the normal.
Right. And in that, I mean, we're working 12-hour days anyway, and we worked on Saturday last week, almost the whole day, because we're so busy. So we are expanding as well. If you'd like to join the Ascendo Resources team, this is what I say. Number one, you have to be slathered in a fresh coat of awesome. You have to be able to move at a pace that other people just can't move at or they won't sustain it. But you got to be ready to have fun every day. Yeah. I mean, we have drive, ambition, and we move at a pace that's fast, but we have fun every day. There's not a day that goes by that we're not laughing and cracking each other up around this place.
It gets real sticky around here sometimes.
Sticky is the word. On Thursday of last week, the word of the day was
Wolfman.
Well, we had Wolfman, we had Sticky, we had Bubbles. So if we're talking to you clients out there, you get a call and all of a sudden I'm talking about something got gobbled up or this candidate's very sticky, you know, whatever it is. It's the word of the day, and it makes us laugh. It might make you raise an eyebrow a little bit, but anyway, that's part of the fun of working here at Ascendo Resources and working with Angie and I. Angie, how long have you been in staffing and recruiting?
20 years to the date. I actually started, my first day was 9/11. I love telling that story.
Yeah,
my very first day.
First day of staffing in Jacksonville was 9/11, 2001. Yeah. And I remember we went downstairs to Wade's and we actually saw the planes.
That was awful.
It was terrible. But you know what kind of business? There was a terrible business impact associated with that as well, not just the tragic loss of lives. So here you are starting in staffing with 9/11.
No, this one takes the cake. COVID takes the cake, but you learn and you grow, and that's how you just get better and better and better. And I'm just trying to make this very optimistic because I'm tired of the gloom and doom, and I'm over it.
Right.
Let's move forward.
And I'm going to say, you know, even just today alone.
Just today.
I mean,
just now, 30 minutes ago.
We're getting calls on a Sunday morning, people. It's happening. But anyway, Angie, thanks for popping in. I appreciate you coming in. And as soon as I wrap up this, we're going to go do something.
No problem. Get in touch, Jacksonville. We're here.
Yeah, and give out your number again.
904-479-9610.
That's right. 479-9610 is for Angie. And, you know, I'm more of an acquired taste. You know, not everybody wants to call me. I recommend you call it Angie the Job Girl or something. If I'm the job guy. My number, if you want to get in touch with me, is 904-999-4878. And Angie, thank you for being on Hard Work. It would Pete the Job Guy.
Absolutely.
And bye, Angie. That was always nice. Huh? You just walk into the studio and sit right down and jump on the radio. Josh, what do we got next? We got a mailbag question, or you're flagging me down? What's next?
Well, first off, I wanted to say that the chemistry between you and that last guest is just sickening. There's nothing there. You guys look like you're just bored to be around each other. No, I'm just kidding. I always love seeing you and Angie together.
Oh, you know what, Josh? I'm going to tell you, not only is she a great wife and mother to the kids and, you know, companion, all that other stuff. We go to work together every day, and we are business minded folks. We're laser focused on taking care of our clients and our candidates every day. We're laser focused on building a world class team right here in Jacksonville. We are hiring, you know, right here. And you heard what Angie looks for, what I look for. But we do have that fun. And that's important for us, is to, you know, you have more moments awake, more time you're awake at work every day than you are at home. So your work environment, to me, should have an element of fun where you don't, you know, you don't get off the elevator every day and go, oh my gosh, another day of this. Ugh. You know, you want a work environment that's not only challenging and fulfilling, but it's okay to laugh and yuck it up and enjoy your coworkers. So we certainly strive to create that. And we do have that chemistry and that fun that we've shared for 20 years plus.
Yeah. And that's something I can appreciate too, is always having a job that you love. I am spoiled that I work for a radio station and a fun radio show. And it just, I sometimes I get home and I realize I went to work today. I felt like I just went out and kind of just did my own thing for a few hours. And I have to remind myself that this is my job.
That's what, you know, Josh, they say that's when you really, really are in your, you know, like your hands slipping into a glove. You found the right profession when at the end of the day, you know, you enjoyed yourself. You like what you're doing. You're like, wow, I'm getting paid to do this. Now, granted, it's not easy and there's blood, sweat and tears behind the scenes. But, you know, ultimately, it does feel like that. I'm living a dream. So, and you are too. So that's great, my man.
Yeah, if you put in the effort, it's always rewarding to realize that you've done a good job. And speaking of jobs, I have been one of the lucky ones to have been managed to keep a job throughout this pandemic, the worldwide crisis. The unemployment rates are through the roof. Numbers that I don't think we've seen much since the Great Depression. And a lot of people who might be now re-entering the workforce now that the economy is slowly opening up again, they may have had to do entire career shifts looking for jobs that they didn't have before. And they might want to be looking in jobs that come with a little more security. And this is kind of my own question. Are there jobs that have been historically more secure?
I'm going to take it in two parts. Okay. Right now, the secure jobs deal with data, you know, any type of data and analytics, right? A lot of the jobs, and I'm talking about in the professional sector, right? In the professional sector, the white collar world, data is king, and analyzing the data, presenting the data into reports that help people to be more effective and help processes to be more streamlined. Data is king, and it affects all industry, everything from sports to manufacturing, construction. The numbers don't lie, and the more you can crunch the numbers, the more you can refine and improve and create efficiencies, whether it's business analytics, financial analytics, processes analytics. So you want to have secure employment. Degrees in get an undergrad in mathematics if you're good at it. Get degrees, anything to do with analysis and data analysis. You can't lose. You'll have job security for a long time and beyond. Historically, the jobs that are less impacted, some of the ones that are most impacted when there's an economic downturn, are the ones that companies can perceive to be non-essential to the bottom line of the company. Like training and development takes a hit a lot of times during downturns. Marketing takes a hit, you know, and then you'll see quickly as the economy rebounds, these positions get refilled again. But that's one that's kind of tough. The ones, you know, if you're a true accountant, controller, you should be fine for a lot of companies, unless your company is overstaffed or there's a perception that you're overstaffed, then you're targeted. If you're in the top technology positions within a company, the technology still has to go. When you can't go outside, e-commerce is big. So someone has to run the e-commerce and keep the systems running. You know, you saw how companies like Zoom, nobody really heard of it too much, these Zoom and Microsoft Teams. I mean, think about how this COVID virus has positively impacted them. So, you know, I hope that answers it, Josh. But, you know, I think, you know, sometimes focusing on the positive and forward looking, what can I do? What types of positions that can I get into that will help me to maintain employment through a tough situation? And right now, the hottest jobs right now deal with analytics and technology analytics, financial analytics, and all around data. This is a safe bet. If you have college students, you tell them that. If you have kids that are good in math, tell them to stick it out. Math is sexy once again. Get an undergrad in mathematics and then go on and get an MBA or something more specialized. And you really can't lose. It'll open up a lot of doors for you. You know, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts. And this is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. And every week, Boston Danny, he's going to brag about Boston. He's going to tell us about the weather, the Celtics, the Patriots, all that. He's going to tell us about his grandson, Desmond, and his wonderful family. I love hearing about it. But what you might love even more than hearing that part is the shout-outs that are personalized to you. Meaning, if you have somebody that you care about, you want to wish them a happy birthday, a happy anniversary, if somebody accomplished something special and you just want to acknowledge it, Boston Danny will do that for you on the radio. He'll give them a special shout-out, as he likes to say, a wicked pissa shout-out, and he'll do it in his true Bostonian speak. And I think right now is a great time to get this week's Boston Update from Boston Danny.
Hey, Jacksonville, Danny here up in New England. Well, spring's finally showed up for us. We got some beautiful weather, finally. You know, mid-80s and, you know, high 70s with some no humidity. It's just really beautiful up here in Boston. At night, it gets down to like 50, 55 with a nice, you know, real natural air conditioning, sleeping weather with your windows open. Just so nice up here in Boston this time of year, June. If you ever get a chance to get up here and see some of the attractions, enjoy some of our stuff, it's the best time of year to come up here. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's just beautiful. So we get, you know, our COVID stuff, everything. We're going into our phase two. So a lot of the restaurants are starting to open. And they're doing some neat stuff up here, like on Newbury Street, over on Hanover Street. That's the North End, the Italian North End. It's all historic areas. Newbury's like Rodeo Drive. They're shutting down the streets. They're allowing the restaurants to put their table and chairs out there so we can, you know, social distance, but enjoy it, you know, a meal, a dinner, some drinks with some friends outside. It's just really getting nice up here. So if you get a chance, come on up and see us, Boston. And we'll have a blast. As for me, somebody probably knows me. They'll stay in the right direction. So the other thing we're all excited about is all the major leaguers. They're, you know, they're all opening up. You got the NHL, you got the Celtics, you got, you know, hopefully the Major League Baseball will go. I'm really missing sitting around, you know, watching a baseball game at Fenway. But the NHL, we're really excited. The Bruins are on such a roll to start. We were getting real, you know, we were not a run that we were loving. I mean, we were so close last year. I'm not saying I'm disappointed at how we finished last year, but, you know, I thought things could have worked out a little better, but I think it's going to happen for us this year. The Celtics will be back, and just we're getting it along. And, of course, the Patriots this year, everyone's very excited to see what Belichick and Kraft have up their sleeve to spring on us, and we'll be competitive, and we'll show you guys out there what it is about. But it's nice up here, everyone. you know, enjoy yourselves, be safe, and you know, we gotta always got our birthday shout out. So you know me, I tell you, it's your birthday. Do something nice for yourself if no one else is gonna, and enjoy it. It's your birthday, your day. So I want to wish a wicked pisser birthday to Jan Burnett, to Alexandria Rose, Tim Stranak. Way to go, Tim. Greg Ghosh, have you guys a wicked pisser birthday. And I got a special wicked pisser birthday shout out to Coach Larry's mom, Helena. She's turning 90. She was born in Caracas, Venezuela, and is much loved by her family. You're very lucky, Larry, to have had her wisdom and experience to guide you through all these years, and everyone else is with you. So keep getting your shout-outs in, folks. I'll give them out to you. And, you know, let's not forget the shout-outs to our first responders, our servicemen and women, both active and retired, and our doctors and nurses. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, I'll talk to you later. Enjoy it.
Man, it is always so refreshing to hear Boston Danny. And everybody who's wondering, yes, that's a real person with a real accent. I'm basically born and raised in Florida, and I forget those people exist. But, man, are they fantastic. Now, Pete, the way you know Danny was from Boston Danny is through the Navy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I met him. Yeah, that's a funny story. And I'll talk about the Navy experience for a minute. But, you know, I was in Boston, Massachusetts. I went through what they call the MEPS Corps, all this preliminary stuff to get you enlisted into the Navy. And we all met there. We signed in and swore, took an oath that, you know, we're part of the Navy. And then we're getting shipped off to Great Lakes to go to boot camp. So while I'm waiting with about, you know, 20 other Bostonians to get on a plane to go to boot camp, there's this one guy and he's kissing his girlfriend goodbye. And you'd think they're both going to die. They're crying their eyes out. They're inseparable. And it's like, oh, you know, and finally they stop making out and they, you have to get on the plane. And this is where, you know, long before all the detectors, and you can't go to the actual gate, because they were standing right next to the gate. They got every last minute they could, kissing each other. And then they finally stopped kissing. He's walking in front of me. And I was like, about time. Look at you. You're crying like a baby. You're going to live. And he's like, shut up. And he's all mad at me. It was Boston Danny. And we started laughing. We got on the plane. We go to boot camp, and we were two clowns in boot camp that I'm surprised we tried to out funny each other every day. And, you know, some of the stories are unfit for radio, but this is a guy that I've known for over 35 years. He's a great man. He always said, when I get out of the Navy, I'm going to go build half of Boston. He always wanted to follow in his family's footsteps, and he wanted to do construction, because he always said, at the end of the day, I want to look over my shoulder and see that I accomplished something, so he can say, I built that. And that's what he's done for all these years with the same company. And he's a wonderful family man. He went, you know, not long after we went to boot camp, we got shipped down to Florida together after we went to Tennessee for school. And Danny, he married Cheryl, and they've been married for 34 years or something like that. And they have beautiful kids. And now Desmond's their grandson now. And it's a great story. And the Navy has sent me all around the world. Navy did such a great thing. You hear me talk about the Navy, hear me talk about veterans causes quite a bit. I support them, not only with my time, with my donations as well, because the Navy was good and helped me quite a bit. You know, pay for my college, 75% of my tuition while I was in the Navy. All I had to pay for was 25% of my tuition. I paid for my books. I went to college nights and weekends. And by the time I got out of the Navy, I had a bachelor's degree. So, I mean, the Navy did wonders for me. And I have lifelong friendships with people that I met. And Danny was one of the very first people that I ever met in the Navy. And here he is, Boston Danny, on my radio show. And if you need any help with staffing, just reach out to me, your friendly neighborhood job guy. I'm not just a job guy. I'm your job guy. I'm Pete the job guy. And my number is 904-999-4878. Guys, that music tells us we're coming to the end of the show. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. on 104.5 WOKV.